Nouvelle Vague could be better defined.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
Spooky vibes.
Sup? Oh, it was Halloween the other day.
It was Halloween the other day.
Did you watch heaps of horror movies?
Sorry, Halloween or Halloween?
Fuck,
it's too late.
New Zealand accent or...
It's too late now.
Halloween.
It's too late for us down here.
Or transatlantic.
I was hanging out with an American, and we don't do Halloween very well.
Well, look, it's great that America can rate the world.
You know what I mean, though? They Halloween hat.
That's true. Still though, it's kind of good. Like I knocked out a couple of costumes with Halloween in the middle of the week. It gave two weekends worth of parties.
I don't know if you wanted to talk about this, but were there Halloween related releases and stuff?
Yeah, kinda. I am going to talk about this.
Okay, good.
So here we go. It was a little bit late, but I think maybe it benefits from a lot of spooky atmosphere. In cinemas tomorrow is Stephen King's Doctor Sleep.
Is it good?
I watched the preview and I wasn't blown away, John. But the preview's the preview. So.
The preview is the preview. It's the adaptation of Stephen King's sequel to his book, The Shining. And Stephen King famously does not like Stanley Kubrick's film of The Shining.
Do those guys like each other, or did they like each other when they were cruising?
Don't know. Maybe this probably was a bit of a grudge, I'd say.
I think Kubrick's a likable guy.
No, there is that. He is a... That did seem like a...
a neurotic
maniac. Can't really say that on the radio.
But you did.
BFM. Doctor Sleep. It doesn't slavishly try to be Stanley Kubrick, which is good.
That's good.
It does acknowledge the film. Like it lifts some visual elements, and it has an opening sequence which is set in 1980 and has a newly cast kid playing the kid from The Shining. They couldn't find someone to play his mum, though. Shelley Duvall, one of a kind. I think. Don't think they make actresses like that anymore.
She was petrified the whole time. So.
Well, there's that. But
legit.
But there's a woman in the film who they look like they've cast the best. They've cast the closest looking person to Shelley Duvall based on her teeth. Seems to be what they've gone for. Well, she's got very specific teeth. Actually, onto the film. It doesn't try and copy Kubrick. It is its own thing, which is pleasant.
It's a part two, isn't it?
Well, it's set. It's set in the present-ish day.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a so Danny Torrance is now a grown up. He's played by Ewan McGregor.
Yeah, I saw that. I like Ewan McGregor.
He's
John.
He's good in this. He's fine.
Did you see him on his motorbike?
No.
He rode around.
No, he did ride around, didn't he?
Bloody bagger.
There was a bit of a chat when we went to see the film about what was the last really great Ewan McGregor thing. It's
Star
probably
Wars.
Been a little while,
Star Wars.
To be fair.
The Phantom Menace. God, what a film.
I quite liked him in Trainspotting too, but you know...
That was good!
But like just the last thing where, you know, he really kind of set the world on fire with the performance. It's been a while. He's fine in this. He's an alky Danny Torrance who, you know, he's come to grips... Well, he's trying to come to grips with the stuff from The Shining by just being a... debilitating pisshead, which doesn't really ever work for anyone. But he's muddling along. He gets swept up in a in between a young girl with powers not unlike his own when he was a child, and a gang of kind of energy vampires who are trying to steal her essence. It's a bit convoluted, but hey, it's a 2.5-hour movie.
Is there a vampire gang in the movie?
Kinda, like
holy
shit.
Like Lost Boys.
They're all about chasing down people with powers and kind of capturing their power essence. Mm. They're led by Rebecca Ferguson, who you may know as Ilsa Forst from the last couple of Mission Impossible movies. She was like the female equivalent of Tom Cruise in the last Mission Impossible sequels.
That sounds terrible.
Is there a bit of like sort of Highlander kind of thing?
No, it sounds like it's Twilight.
It's a tiny bit Highlander.
Okay, great.
It's a tiny bit Highlander
rules.
There's parts where it's a tiny bit Nightmare on Elm Street, and her gang is very reminiscent of.
Wow.
Her gang's very reminiscent of the Catherine Bigelow's excellent vampire horror Near Dark. They hone around in RVs. They don't sort of have a fixed residence. And also, Rebecca Ferguson's character is really ominous and scary while wearing yoga pants. So that's
everyone scares me in yoga pants.
Especially
myself, actually.
Yeah, well, you know,
come to think of it.
I'm not really going to come into the studio and yoga pants. Wouldn't want to
thank you
put you off.
Now, Steve, yes. I just want to chip in.
Yes. Chip in.
Terminator.
That was all right.
Oh. I watched Terminator 2 on the weekends.
Right. Will he be back?
Yeah, Terminator 2.
Great chase movie.
Isn't Terminator 2
I hate car chases.
Is Terminator 2 a perfect film, or is Terminator 2 a perfect film?
Terminator 2 is great.
It's mint.
But so you sort of brushing the new Terminator.
It's mint because it was just like, there was just a, basically all I remember from it was like an unstoppable thing and a shotgun. That's why it's meant, and a Harley, and like definitely, like when Harley was doing stunts.
You've got it.
You have described 45,000 motion pictures.
It's so good though. It's just good. Like, and the way like just loads with one arm. I was like, that's man.
I made the mistake of watching Terminator 2 the night before going to see Terminator Dark Fate, and it did remind me how Terminator 2 is. It's a huge, expensive special effects movie, but it's also ruthlessly efficient. It's got a razor sharp script. Some of the scariest stuff is the most normal and intimate, like being locking some doors in an asylum.
The one-liners and stuff. And it's just every
line of dialogue, every like micro arc of character development, it's all
the new one
absolutely on point. And the new one just kind of lacks
like,
that.
It looks like the new one's trying to do the classic action where it's just like action, 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 and then everyone's stoked, right? It kind of looks like that a little bit.
It is a bit like that. It's a bit of kind of modern digital action clutter is part of the problem, I think. There.
Steve, is it kind of obviously great writing and great acting and stuff like that, but is it a little bit of just fluke that you end up with a film which is just like streets ahead of anything else?
No, but I don't think so. I read an interesting
interview. It's great acting and great writing.
Yeah, but there's like a little bit of magic as well. There's obviously something which has happened, which has just elevated
it. Like any art, but I think if you put all the right things in the right place, it should erupt, right?
Yes. Dominic Corry did an interview with the director of the new Terminator for Letterboxd, and he was the director, Tim Miller, was talking about some conversations he had with James Cameron, and he sort of asked him, like trying to understand how he wrote such great scripts, talking about Aliens specifically, which is another perfect film. Said, you know, do you have to write it's so consistent, you write everything forward from the character's perspective, like one step at a time. And James Cameron's like, no, I decide I want to have this big fucking action sequence, and then I just do the work to make all the stuff preceding it lead into it properly. So I think it's not a fluke. He's got a very disciplined writing process. The Avatar sequels may put paid to that. We'll find out when that happens. But
did he ever manage to get the Titanic? He was trying to get the Titanic for a bit.
He just got all the money from the Titanic, didn't he?
Okay. Little old lady cruising around.
So, look, Dark Fate, it's just... I found it just okay.
Okay.
What about you, John?
I haven't seen it.
Don't ruin it. I haven't seen it.
Well, Steve, was there anything else? Was there something else?
Just you, mate.
Just a few. I think the only other thing to mention, if you haven't been watching Taskmaster, which is not a cinema-related piece of content at all.
What is it?
Yeah, I love that program. It's so zany and weird.
It's a British, like, don't
Rose Matafeo's got a gig on there.
Rose Matafeo's got a gig on there. Don't get me wrong. It's a British panel show with comedians.
No, but it's so a
competitive
British,
it's a competitive show with comedians.
It's extremely British.
Nothing I say about this is probably going to make it sound good.
it is
a really good watch. Basically, instead of comedians reading pre-scripted one-liners about current events, they put a whole bunch of people together. They compete for an entire season in a series of
cooked
humiliating
tasks. Crazy cooked tasks.
And it's a really good watch. There's a couple of seasons of it on TVNZ on demand, including the current season. And yes, Rose Matafeo is flying the flag for New Zealand in this very, very British show.
What a sweet gig she's got there.
Check it out. I think the finale is airing in the UK today or tonight. So don't Google this show. Just go to TVNZ On Demand and start watching it. It's a great one for the weekend, I reckon.
It's like a good program.
Knocking out a couple of those, couple of episodes before you get out of bed on a Saturday morning.
I just like the British game show Friday humor night. Where it's like, it all matters and then it doesn't matter. And it's funny as.
And it's also acerbic as hell. There's some very arch grumpiness on this show.
Yeah, absolutely. It's good.
Yeah, that sounds British. Grumpy.
Anyway, so yeah, Stephen King's Doctor Sleep, go see it. It's like a 3.5-ish star. It's not The Shining, but I still had a really good time.
Okay. Hey, Steve Newell, thank you very much.
See you soon.
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.